When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about calling people to His path with wisdom and beautiful preaching, the wisdom, according to most of the scholars, is making sure that you give people the preaching in proportion to where they're at, so that they can properly grow. Now, at no point does that mean concealing the truth or making wrong seem like right, but whether you're speaking to the individual and building their character, or you're speaking to a community, you build them in accordance with where they are at. You prioritize certain elements of the message, and you build, and you build, and you build, and you build. Now, with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you can imagine as he looked around and he saw all of the wrongdoing in Hajj in particular, all of the innovations, all of the indecency, but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a desire to change this as quickly and as strategically as possible. But he was wise, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that's why Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told her that, do you know that your people built the Kaaba wrong, that the structure itself is actually not in the same way that Ibrahim alayhi salam built it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he said that to Aisha, her immediate reaction was, well, why don't we go ahead and change it? Let's go ahead and reconstruct it on the way of Ibrahim alayhi salam. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, your people are still new, and so I don't want to divide them over this. Rather, the important thing is that they fulfill the original purpose of the structure, rather than the structure being in accordance with the original structure. So one of the innovations of the people of Mecca, and it's really interesting because they were stricter than Islam in some ways. And it's not because they believed in Allah or they believed in an afterlife, it's because they wanted to honor their ancestors. So they had these practices and these cultural things that were so rigid. One of the things that they said was that you cannot make Umrah in the sacred months. And what you see from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that all four of the Umrahs of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam were initiated in Dhul-Qa'dah, which is one of the sacred months. The third Umrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam takes place right where we left off last time, right after the Battle of Hunain. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes to Mecca, obviously in his armor, and in Fatah Mecca, in the conquest of Mecca, he did not do Umrah. And then immediately they went to Hunain, and after they finished Hunain, the expectation was that they would return back to Al-Madinah. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, every time he comes to Mecca after the Hijrah, there has to be a Umrah. He does not want to go back to Medina without observing the sacred ritual. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam takes up his ihram in a place called Al-Ji'rana. And in fact, there's a masjid now which marks the exact place where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered into ihram, so that we too, if we would like, can enter into ihram from that place. And he goes at night after the Battle of Hunain, and he performs Umrah, and in the same night he goes back to Al-Madinah from the Haram after performing his third Umrah in Islam, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So that's the eighth year after Hijrah. And things were still too unstable to commission a serious Hajj from Al-Madinah. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam wants things to stabilize around Mecca before commissioning a Hajj. So now it's the ninth year. And the ninth year is a year in which Tabuk took place, which was a very difficult journey for the Muslims. The Prophet ﷺ took the largest army he had ever taken to confront what was seemingly a Roman attack. And he goes out, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with tens of thousands of soldiers in this difficult heat in the month of Rajab in the ninth year. And he returns, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in Ramadan. And of course, that is the year as well that you had desperate plots from the hypocrites in Medina who knew that they were losing all ground that they had to try to unseat the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala foiled all of their plans at that point. And this is actually when the song Tala al-Badru alayna, the nasheed, was actually sung according to correct accounts. And Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions that one of the reasons for that is that Thaniyat al-Wada', the Valley of al-Wada', is from the direction of Asham, not from the direction of Mecca. And so in the part of the song where they mention that the Prophet ﷺ rose upon them from the Valley of Wada', and they mention, and we owe it to show gratefulness, وَجَبَى شُكْرُ عَلَيْنَا مَا دَعَى لِلَّهِ دَعَى, as long as a supplicator invokes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that this was after Tabuk. And that shows you that the love that the people of Medina had for the Prophet ﷺ was not only when he first arrived, but it only grew with every year that he was amongst them, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So now comes the time of Hajj. Now at this point, Thaqif is Muslim now. The areas around Mecca are Muslim. There is a thought that perhaps the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will go out to Hajj that year. However, this would be the year that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would first send Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu with a group of 300 Muslims to do the Hajj. And Abu Bakr would hence become the first Amir of Hajj in Islam. Some of the scholars mentioned that that is because the Prophet ﷺ was busy with the wufud, with the delegations that year, that tribes were coming from all over the world to embrace Islam. And so the Prophet ﷺ wanted to give that its due right, you know, the tens of thousands of people that were embracing Islam in Medina. Some say that the Prophet ﷺ did not want to perform the Hajj while others were still doing so with some of the rituals of ignorance, particularly performing tawaf without clothes. And so this was one of the objectionable acts of jahiliyyah, of the days of ignorance, that the Prophet ﷺ abhorred, which was that they would do tawaf naked. And this is in fact the context of the ayah, خُذُوا زِينَتَكُمْ عِنْدَ كُلِّ مَسْجِدْ, that you take your best clothes to every masjid. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala referring to it as a fahisha, as an act of shamelessness, that the people would do tawaf in nudity. So the Prophet ﷺ did not want this, and this would be the one year, the ninth year after Hijrah, that the Muslims and the pagans would perform Hajj together. So this is the last year that this is going to take place, that Muslims and pagans perform Hajj in their own ways together. And this would be the year that all of the rituals of the days of ignorance would be done away with. So for example, they used to carve out holes in their homes to not enter from the front. And they saw this as an act of righteousness. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَيْسَ الْبِرُّ بِأَنْ تَأْتُوا الْبُيُوتَ مِنْ ظُهُورِهَا وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنِ اتَّقَى. And it is not righteousness that you enter into your homes from the back, but rather righteousness is with taqwa, is with God consciousness and piety. So all of the rituals of the days of ignorance, those that were seemingly more righteous, those that were more rigid, those that were more lenient, those that were shameless, all of these things were meant to be done away with before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would commission his Hajj alayhi salatu wasalam. So the Hajj of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu is meant to really set the stage for the next year when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would come with all of the Muslims on his farewell Hajj. Now the narration of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu's Hajj comes from Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu is the most frequent narrator of the Hajj of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well. So Jabir was witnessing much of this himself radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and is the most extensive narrator about the way that Hajj was taking place in Islam. So he says that when the Prophet ﷺ came back from the Umrah of Al-Ji'rana, he appointed Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu to lead the Hajj. So he said, we went out with him until we reached the area of Al-Irj, and the Iqama for Fajr was called. So Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu stood up to start the Salah, to say Takbir, and just as he was about to, he started to hear a camel grunting behind him. And he said to himself that this is the camel of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He recognized the grunting of the camel of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he said, perhaps the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has reconsidered and he's going to do Hajj and he's here now, so we'll get to pray behind him. Instead, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu turned around and he saw Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu on the camel of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which signifies obviously that he was sent by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu immediately says to him, Amirun am Rasul, are you coming to assume the responsibility of the Amir of Hajj, or are you coming as a messenger? He said, no, rather I was sent as a messenger by the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam with al-Bara'ah, which is Surah At-Tawbah. And the Prophet ﷺ ordered me to recite it to the people in all of the different stations of Hajj. So he said, we came to Mecca, and one day before the day of Tarwiyah, which is the 8th of Dhul-Hijjah, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu stood up and he addressed the people, telling them about the way that they should perform the Hajj. As soon as he finished, Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu stood up, and he recited Surah At-Tawbah until the end. And then they went out on the day of Arafah. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, once again, he stood up and he addressed the people, teaching them how to do the Hajj. As soon as he finished, Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu stood up and he recited Surah At-Tawbah until the end of it. Then on the day of Eid, the day of the sacrifice, again, Abu Bakr stands up. After he finishes, Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu stands up and he tells the people, he recites to the people Surah At-Tawbah. And then, again, on the days of Tashriq, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu stands up and he addresses the people And Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu stands up and he recites Surah At-Tawbah again. So this was consistently happening in the Hajj. And Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he describes that I was in fact one of the people that Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu had sent out to proclaim that no pagan should perform Hajj after this year and no one should do tawaf again without clothes. So this was the year that it was ensured that no one will come again performing the acts of Jahiliyyah, the acts of the days of ignorance within Hajj. And this was something that was sent out as a message to all of the people that had come from all over the world to set the stage for the one ultimate Hajj of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with his companions, which would be done in the exact same way that Jibreel alayhi salam taught Ibrahim alayhi salam, and that Jibreel alayhi salam then taught the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In these days, as we exert ourselves with all sorts of good deeds that our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us, we invite you to spend in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that we may all further ourselves along this journey and draw closer to Him.